Okay, well, I want you to turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And we want to begin tonight simply by reading chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. Paul writes, "But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." Paul says, flee these things, fight the good fight. What are these things that Paul mentions? What is it that he's talking about? What is it he's saying to the man of God, to every one of us? Right? What is it that we must flee and fight against? And when I think of that, brothers and sisters, we, the church, we have to flee or fight against the unholy Trinity. Now, obviously, I'm not talking about the Holy Ghost and the Jesus and the Father, but I'm talking about the unholy Trinity, the exact opposite. The Bible definition of the word flee means to run away with great speed for safety from danger, from physical, moral, or spiritual, or to shun and avoid something that's harmful like sin or evil. The Greek word is phugo, and it's translated as flee, and it means to be saved by flight, escape out of, safely out of danger, absolutely stronging, moving forward away from something that could cause danger. That's Strong's definition. In Matthew chapter 2 and at verse 13, remember that the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, and the Lord told Joseph to arise and take the young child and his mother and flee to Egypt. That word flee is the same word. They're running away from the danger that King Herod presented, who wanted to destroy Jesus. And so that's what it means to flee. So when we think about fleeing, we want to be running, moving as fast as we can, do everything we can to get away from whatever it is that is against us. And we fight against this unholy Trinity. The best defense is knowing your enemy, right? Knowing his ways, his weapons. And one of the weapons that the enemy has in this world that we want to flee from is the world itself. We mentioned this morning all the wickedness and evil that's going on. We need to flee. Put all that behind us. Put it back here. Run from it. All the unsavory influences and moral actions of the world. Think of Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. What the Apostle Paul tells us there, beware lest anyone cheat you through vain philosophy, empty words, empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. That's what we're running from, the basic principles of the world. And we need to run. We really do. We need to flee from these things. What are the basic principles of the world? Okay. The context draws in the basic principles as being the old law. So we don't want to overlook that. Combined with the new law of Christ in comparison to the traditions of men, the commandments of Christ, that's pretty clear. Judaism. But in the age that we live in, the church age, And the times now, any combination of worldliness is actually applicable. We want to flee from the things of today. The basic principles of the world can be idolization of earthly things, things over God. We want to flee that feeling, that temptation, corrupt, selfish values or selfish desires. We want to flee from those kinds of emotions and thinking. Anything that opposes divine craving, the desires that we have for the divine, anything that opposes that, those are corrupt things, and we need to flee from that. And these principles of the world, they're manifested in the lust of the flesh. Right? You think, well, you know, what is the lust of the flesh? It's indulging in physical desires or cravings. It's also the lust of the eyes. And when we think about the lust of the eyes, we think about the craving for material possessions, the things of this world, wealth, possessions. And we also want to flee the pride of life. Right? Pursuing status. Self-indulgences, aggrandizements of the things that we do have, and the selfish ambitions for ourselves. We want to flee those kinds of things. Flee an overemphasis on material things. That's what we do. That's how we get away from the world, because those are all the things that the world desires, material wealth, status, self-centered ambition. It leads to spiritual immaturity. To flee from those things. It's a hostile relationship that we have in the world. It's hostile against God. So, resist worldly temptations by prioritizing God. That's actually how you flee. It's not a physical thing where you get up and run, although it could be. But we're prioritizing God. As I mentioned this morning, we're putting God up here and the world down there. Taking our mind off of earthly things. Living in obedience to Christ. James says, you adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore makes himself a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. That's James 4 and 4. Another thing that we need to flee, which should be extremely obvious, is the devil himself. He is real. He is not a cartoon character. He's not some character written in a book, in a story. He is real. Peter says, be sober and vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. If you're being chased by a physical lion, you're going to flee. You know, I always think it's funny because I see people on the internet with those videos and they're being chased by geese. I actually think that's funny, because if a goose chased after me, I wouldn't run. But if a lion chased after me, I think I'd be hightailing it out of there pretty quick. And so the devil, he is like that lion. The devil is the one who's seeking to devour us, and we flee. We don't stop. We don't turn. We don't look back. We run for our eternal life. Thinking of looking back, that's what happens when in Sodom and Gomorrah, when Lot and his family were told to leave and don't look back, and his wife looked back, bam, she became a pillar of salt. Just like that. Bam. We don't want to look back. We don't want to look back. That same devil, he wants us. He wants us to walk according to the course of this world in disobedience, fulfilling the desires of the flesh. Ephesians chapter 2, 1 and 3. That's what the devil wants. We've got to flee that. Peter also says, the flesh. That's the third part of this unholy communion of these, this unholy triangle. The flesh lusts against the spirit. It wars against the soul, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. Paul wants us to avoid the works of the flesh. Those are the 17 works of the flesh. We think the adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, and revelries. You know, you put those in the forefront and you just flee from them. Flee from idolatry. Free from uncleanliness. Free from jealousness and outbursts of wrath, and just flee. Flee from envy. All those things are the tools of the devil. And when we think of this triune thing here, that's what we got to get away from. We flee from those things. So then you think, you know, this unholy trinity is really just evil, all boxed up. There's evilness in this world. This world is not our home. We're just a passing through. There's evilness in this world because the devil's here, his influence is here, and his influence is destroying souls. And we're, the evil is in this world because of the flesh of men and the desires of men that have the lust of the flesh and the eyes and the pride of life. And so how do we, as mere mortals, fight against such power? The devil's not weak. And he has ages and ages and ages of experience. All right? He's been here since the beginning and before that. So how do we fight against somebody like that? That's like me arguing the theory of relativity with Albert Einstein. I wouldn't get very far. How do we fight that devil? Well, it all comes down to the greatest weapon that we possibly could have, the Holy Trinity of God. Again, 1 Timothy chapter 6, when we read that, "But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue," that's the word, "pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness." So to get away from them, you got to go towards something. And so when we flee evilness, when we flee this, we need to be going towards something. That word "fleeing" comes from the word "diako," and it means to seek after eagerly. It means to earnestly endeavor to acquire something. And that's what Strong says. So it really comes down to that meaning. To earnestly endeavor to acquire something. And what are we trying to acquire? We're trying to acquire the power of God to fight that devil. We flee from the devil, but Paul goes on to say pursue. The best offense that we can have is using the weapons of God that he provided. The Father, our God. Right? Matthew 19, verse 26, with God all things are possible. Right? We have the power of God in the Word of God. We have the power of God on our side. The power of the same God that created all things. The same God who saved men time and time again from their enemies. God, our Father. The number one resource. And listen, with God on our side, against the world, against the devil, there isn't an ounce of competition. The devil knows that. His demons know that. And we know that. Not an ounce. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. "What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" God. He has all power, all ability. The devil in respect of God, has nothing. He has power in this world to influence us for evil, but nothing at all like God. Jesus, when he was tempted in the wilderness, he was tempted by the devil, and the devil had no power at all. He overcame the devil with Scripture from the Father, which is everything that is written, all Scripture written by the breath of God. And so God is our first defense. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Right? And so God is the source of all faith. All faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And so think of that. And we're never left alone. God never leaves us nor forsake us. He'll never do that. He never leaves us alone. Right? 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. That's our defense. Right? God said to the psalmist concerning Israel, in Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10, he says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my right hand." That's God. When God's on our side, that devil has no power. The world has no power, and the flesh, the desires, no power. There's a second person in the Holy Trinity, obviously, that is on our side also, and that's Jesus. And again, with Jesus, you can't lose. Right? Remember Jesus predicting Peter would be deny him three times. And he did. Peter denied Jesus three times, but Jesus also told him in that statement what would come later. Right? "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. He wants to destroy you. But I have prayed for you." Jesus is our intercessor. He is the one between us and God. He goes to God. He approaches God on our behalf. When we pray, he prays. When we ask, he asks. He's the advocate on our behalf. That's like having an attorney. The best attorney in the world, Jesus. He prayed that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, he said, strengthen the brethren. He made it very clear that Peter, yeah, you're going to deny me in weakness, but I'm right there with you, and I am going to strengthen you, and I am going to pray for you, that your faith does not fail. We have Jesus on our side. And listen, our Jesus, he has the power to win every battle, no more, no less than God himself. And that includes the battle over death, the battle over sin. Go with me and let's read the book of Hebrews, chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. These words are really small. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 through 18. "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he, Jesus himself, likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had power, the power of death, that is the devil." That's number one. He's already done that. He's fighting for us, but he's already destroyed the power of the devil. Verse 15, "and released those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Verse 16, "for indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren." That means he came down from heaven, walked among us, "that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Verse 18, for in that he himself had suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. He knows all of our troubles. He's experienced all of this firsthand, and he's able to help us. And his strength is much greater than that devil. Finally, the Spirit himself, the Holy Spirit, fights against the flesh, fights against the flesh that doesn't even have a chance against him. Paul talks about those who are the sons of God, who are led by the Spirit. And you look at, Romans chapter 8, verses 12 and 13. Romans chapter 8, verse 12 and 13. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh according to the flesh, but for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But listen what he says. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. By the Spirit we put to death the, you know, we read the Bible and the Holy Spirit in us grows every time we learn something, every time we memorize something, every time we meditate on something. And when the Spirit is in us, it puts to death the deeds of the flesh. He's on our behalf. Right? To the Galatians, the Apostle Paul said about the Spirit that the Spirit and the flesh, they're contrary to one another. When you look at Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17, and that's an introductory to what we just had on the board. But walking in the Spirit, what does it do according to that text? It keeps us from fulfilling the lust of the flesh. That's what it does. Number two, the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. They're contrary, as we said. What's the result? The Spirit's more powerful than the flesh. And he says that, you know, you don't do the things you wish if you allow the flesh, but if you allow the Spirit, you win the battle. You put to death the deeds of the body and you live. Let's just look at this, Galatians chapter. We're going to look at the works of the flesh. Where am I at? Okay. He says in verse 19, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us all walk by the Spirit. You see the power of this Holy Trinity of God. Jesus speaking to his disciples, John chapter 14, verse 17, that first part, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. The world, the devil, the flesh, all these things, all the evil, right? They don't know the Spirit. They can't effectively fight against something they don't know. They can't effectively fight against something that they can't see. We have access to the Spirit through the Word of God. He, the Spirit, He fights on our side. He comes to us and He overpowers the enemy on our behalf. You know, Jesus in that same text, the latter part of the text went on to say, but you know Him. For He dwells within you. So remember, we need to fight, but we can't, we need to flee from the evil and pursue the good. in the presence of many witnesses, we made that faithful confession that Jesus is the Christ. I want to close just reminding ourselves of that spiritual armor. Right? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household. Whoop, I'm in the wrong book. Ephesians chapter 6. I thought that was funny. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, but put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers, and against the rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of heaven in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done to all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking on the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always in all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And as for me, utterance may be given to me that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador. There's an unholy trinity. There's a holy trinity. Flee from the works of the flesh. Flee from the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and so on. Flee from the devil and pursue righteousness and love and peace. So I hope that made sense, and certainly I'm also thankful that God presents His Word in such a way that we can all understand it. And our job, of course, is to flee. If we have anything going on in our life that isn't right, tonight is a good time to flee. Flee from that unrighteousness. Allow God to receive us back as we repent of our sin. And I know that everyone here has already been baptized. Just remember that the good news of Jesus Christ is that people can hear, believe, and be baptized and be saved. And that's a message that we need to present in front of many witnesses, as Paul wrote. So if you do have a need, whatever that need may be this night, we have a song of invitation. Take my life, Father, mold it. So please, if you have a need, come forward now as we stand and as we sing.